Channel 1 Right on a new reel, and I'm setting up for Miss Chitty this Friday afternoon, the 29th of October, 71. Channel 1 Right on a new reel, and I'm setting it up for Miss Chitty this Friday afternoon, the 29th of October, 71. Channel 1 Right on a new reel, and I'm setting it up for Miss Chitty this Friday afternoon, the 29th of October, 71. Channel 1 Right on a new reel, and I'm setting up for Ms. Chitty this Friday afternoon, the 29th of October, 71.
Kitchen makes it makes your step high.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I guess I'll get in my stall.
Yeah, get in your stall.
Oh, this dress is short and this chick is cold.
You need a quilt.
I tell Margaret now, I said right now, it's about about to get numb while I'm going to see them back there. A while before you come, drank about six swallows.
Oh, you did?
That's not what I drink. I use it a whole bottle sometimes. Well, Betty Ann will come in and get what I got left, I reckon.
Oh. Well, I don't think, Miss Chitty, that I know of anybody who irons the family's underwear.
We do.
And they can tell the difference.
But you know, really in the summertime, your underwear is cooler on you without being ironed. Seems like the wrinkles in it let the cool air go in where they're ironed, they got the same old thing. And I know a couple that didn't iron their top clothes. Like the church warm up tight.
Oh, really?
Mr. and Mrs. Hipple that lived across over on the Williston Road from us, they never did iron. They'd wash clothes, they'd clean, but they never would iron. Mr. Hipple says, well, he says, there's two reasons. He says, if you wear them on iron, they're cooler in the summertime when you're sweating, although it don't get wet at one time.
Well, you know, there's something to that.
They're northern people, you know.
I don't believe I heard you mention them before. Hipple?
Yes. They lived over there, so. Where? I don't know where they moved over to, but another neighbor of ours that lives over here on her friend lives over here on Franklin's ranch.
Uh-huh.
Well, they went for the trees and riding on something. I don't know where I'm at. Anyway, whichever way, we're going to River Styx riding around, just riding, you know. Sometimes Frankie take a wild goose chase, and there's an Amos Miles place right back over there. And you remember that evening we were here, and Mr. Miles taking us all down to look at the place and the cows around, you know?
Yeah.
And he says, well, you know, says, River Styx is not too far right back over in there, and he was pointing out places, you know, I know. And I remember, I just thought of the place, but anyway, it was all familiar with Frankie, you know, because he's worked back home. He's worked as far down as Island Grove in the oranges. And
Frankie?
Picking oranges, you know.
Franklin's place is back in there too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You see, he owns a big mill back then making opium. He owns all that land back out in the sun somewhere.
And Frankie can tell when you iron his when you iron his shirts.
Yes, and you can tell by looking at them, and you can tell most of them put them on, they don't feel right.
Even the drip dries when you've had a little iron to them?
Oh, you don't say much about them, but we get his pants and take them in when they dry good, you know. Take them by the waist and, you know, and fold them just like you're going to put them in a suitcase or something, kind of lay them down. Make the creases come back in, hang them on clothes, hang them up. He don't complain so much about that in his other white shirts that drip dry, you know. And get them others there that ain't drip dry. He knows right on, he know iron been on. And he said, this shirt don't look like it's been ironed. Well, Frankie, them are not supposed to be ironed. Them drip dry. You wash them, dry them, and hang them up. Says, well, this looks like it needs some more wrinkles.
Well, I can understand having to.
Well, hello.
Well,
I'm just wore out. I want to sit down here and rest a minute. Y'all have a nice trip?
Yes.
Oh, goodness.
Frank is putting up a new fence. A brand new fence.
There's a cross fence in there that kind of cut some of this land off. So some of these going so maybe in oaks and they're a part of the year, you know. Now we're going to get anything to sow in the other part of it for a fall growth or not. Y'all want some of my tin tablets?
You know, I just like Brema cattle, I was always afraid of that, Miss Kitty.
Do you ever try any of it?
No. I tried everything else.
I tried it so when I was a kid till I still hung on to it.
Well, you were just a kid when you used to get a little bit from your mama.
Yes, I sneaked it out. That's about the worst I ever did do, was steal snow from my mother and chewing tobacco from my father from my cousins.
Oh, you can do that too.
Yes, that's worse.
That's worse I ever did, I reckon, was sneak snuff from my mother. And, well, they were trying to break me from it, you know. And didn't do no good, because every time I'd find that box sitting down, Some would come out and she'd use a blacksmith to call P-la-la.
Call what?
P-la-la. It was a blacksmith.
Yes.
And it was damp. And just a teeny tinge of salt, you know, to keep them spoiling. Sometimes I couldn't find the brown snuff. Now, Mama used thistle. Rosalie uses thistle. So, well, a few years before Mama died, she bought rail. That's what using railroad.
Railroad?
Yes. That's what I use all the time. Now, if I get hold of Rosalie's box more than one time, boy, I get a sore mouth. But she don't pay no mind.
It don't bother her?
It don't make her mouth sore, but it does mine. When she gets over my box, I don't think she knows the difference between them.
Yeah.
And one thing she puts in a load, and the next thing you steal with a can, spitting out a little big pile of dry snuff and all. She'll use a box in a day and a half.
How long it last you?
Well, I've been a little heavy on it here since I've been home, but from the time I just snitched a little bit, you know, while I was in the hospital.
Yeah.
One of Rosalie's girls, well, her oldest one, Barbara, when they come down there and come in the hospital Sunday, you know, Sunday, Monday, whichever, Sunday, I reckon, I don't know, there was just a I remember seeing the people, but I can't remember what day they used to come on. It must have been Sunday, because Sunday was the 4th.
Yes, it was raining in.
And it Monday was a holiday, too, you know, by Sunday being on the 4th. I mean, 4th being on Sunday. I got back up this morning. Can't get nothing said right. I got up feeling worse this morning than I felt in nearly 2 weeks. Now I've been feeling pretty good when I get up. And I don't know if it ain't what I've been doing. I did take a few things up. It is raining, ain't it? I thought I heard it.
Oh, just a little piddling rain. We haven't had any rain recently. Y'all?
We haven't had any lately, but Margaret said it sure rained in Ocala yesterday.
Yeah.
You could see the effect of it from our place, you see.
Yeah.
And it kept moving on around, back around Macintosh. Like, boy, what we got was wind.
Yeah.
We got wind.
And it was damp wind.
I kind of cool last night. Man, we don't have, but just a wee bit more cool than what it's been. I don't want to have to sit all day by fire or two or three sweaters on and a house coat to keep warm.
Yeah.
I imagine winter's going to hit me harder this time than it's been hitting me because I'm so much thinner than I was.
You are a little thinner, aren't you?
Yes, I'm a whole lot.
How much?
I don't know, just that, well, before I had to go to the doctor and into the hospital, I weighed 145, I believe.
That's
that was
good.
my regular weight,
yeah.
145. And then I had to go back again for a shot or an extra treatment, you know. And then I started my feet and legs up to my knees, falling until the front was going to pop. That was the night you carried me to the doctor,
yeah.
Saturday night. But before that, they'd weighed me, and I weighed 147. And I said, now that's not my natural weight. And his daughter, she's working in the hospital, and I guess she's going to nurse's school now or something. Anyway, she was the one that weighed me and taking my weights down. She says 147. I says, what? She says, yes, ma'am. Says, that's what you weigh, 147. I says, well, that's jumped up to what I weighed when I was in here last week. I didn't weigh but 145. I said, been holding that weight for years. She says, well, just 2 pounds more. I said, yes, but I don't suppose to have 2 pounds more since last week and today. She said, well, you're not swelling. One thing's causing you to weigh so much more. There's water in your body.
Your water's heavy.
And so, after I went to the hospital, and they weighed me 2 or 3 times, I think. And my weight was going down.
In the hospital?
Kept going down. And I think they weighed me. Whether they weighed me the day I come out or not. But anyway, I got down to 43 or 44. And I'm going to have it. So the doctor told me, he says, now I'm okay, Miss Chitty. He says, you're just going to have to do without your salt. He says, and you're going to have to eat, though. He says, you're getting too thin. He says, your weight's going down too fast. I said, well, doctor, I don't know what I'll eat. Then to gain my weight back if I can't have salt, a little salt. He says, you can't have no salt. Well, I just won't get no stout of that. I just won't get no more fat on me then. He said, well, you're going to have to eat, but you can't have no salt. So, I haven't. What did I weigh when I was over there last time? 143, I believe it was, and that's what I weighed here. And here's had his office in Macintosh.
Oh, really?
And he said, then he's well, so you're back to your old weight. He says, but I think you better put on a little more. I said, well, 143. I was that for years and years and years. I said, why go put on more now? Give me a chance to wear some of them dresses I've had to lay back. And this was one of them got where I can bring it soon if I wasn't so lazy and I'll sew my snap back on then. Snap it, but I take a pin and pin it, and it pins over that much further now than it used to snap.
Now that's the right smart difference.
And, well, that's just getting strength to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
And my eyes would straighten up, clear up before I could. There's so much patching and mending and clothes is too good to just throw them away.
Yeah. You and never wore glasses, did you?
Yes, sir, I got glasses. Mom, I got them in 46. And wore them way up in the 50s. That's why I say when you wash clothes and the hot steam come up, or you open up the stove oven and the hot steam come out. I got to put my glasses up, put them down, huh? See pretty good. I can thread a needle just as good without them as good with them, so on. But now, I can't thread a big-eyed needle, much less just an ordinary needle.
With your glasses or without them?
I ain't tried them with glasses because I know the glasses won't do no good.
How come?
They just won't. They're not strong enough.
Do you think you've outgrown them?
My left eye here, instead of, must have a division like that right across the side.
Oh, really?
And I can rub them. But he don't clear up.
Don't clear up.
And my right eye is and I've always, and going to school, the teacher always tells you, when you're reading by lamplight, have to get back and read over your shoulder.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And that's what I've done all these years, and I catch myself now trying to read, like, now I can read this over there without glasses, but like I was sitting here, that light would have to come on this side. I've got so used to holding my books, my papers, and everything.
Yeah.
And it kind of divides. It says Jane Parker, low sodium. That means no salt or anything like that in it.
Yeah. You got those.
Breads on. Breads, no salt added. Now bottom side up. Ha ha
ha. You don't need glasses, you can do that.
A lot of other things I'd like to read, I can't.
But the fine print, like your Sunday school lesson.
Yes, like the Sunday school lesson and Bible. Oh, since I got to where I can't see good, it just worries me because I can't. Can't read my Bible at night.
And the newspaper.
Well, I don't care too much about the newspaper. I take it up, run over the headlines, and if I see anything that interests me, of course, I'd, before my eyes got so bad, I'd read it. Oh, it's so much time now. I don't care nothing about reading or hearing it.
That's the truth. There's so much in them.
Talking about taxes. Well, mine's not as high as it was last year. But I tell you, I think $99 is a whole lot for my land tax.
Yes.
And I'm supposed to be exempted from all taxes, but I'm not. I mean, now after the penny work taxes over, now there's. And Frank is, I can't remember what his taxes was now. But then, as much as it was last year, I think they kind of cut down considerable in some ways. But I don't see any sense of us having to pay such tremendous big taxes. When there's other people got more cattle, more property, land property, than we have. That's the trouble now. They charge the little fellow, tax the little fellow more than they do the big one.
Oh, yes. Yes, I guess.
You're a big one. You got a lot of land.
That's
a lot of cattle. You're going to get it hard.
Yeah, that it pays you to be big, Mr. Sure does.
The trouble of it is, when it comes time to pay them taxes, you're going to be able to pay them.
You've got no choice on them. You've got to fork over, haven't you?
You got to go one way or the other.
Yes, sir.
Well, you see, Frank never left no will of how things was to be done. And, of course, when he died, the place went to me and his heirs. You might say I'm the I knew what I was going to say, but didn't think of it now. Anyway, guardian.
Yeah.
I'm more of a guardian to the children. And, of course, I get a child's part. That's the way the land's supposed to be divided up. And what you going to do with 83 acres, more or less?
Yes.
For six people.
Yes.
All I want was a place big enough to keep my house on, and a place big enough to have a yard, a chicken yard, if I want to work and worry with chicken. That's going to get cold if I don't drink it once.
Yeah.
I got one. I start going to get out of the bottle and water get stronger.
Yeah. We can put it back in the refrigerator. Mm. Oh, that that's right. 83 acres, 26 people. I wouldn't.
And it'd be seven if the little girl had lived, you see.
Yeah. Yeah.
But of course, I don't know if Willie and Martin or won't do a little dab because can't pick it up and put it up by what they've got.
Yeah.
Leave a terrible hole if they did, wouldn't it? And of course, I'm not wanting to pass on, but there'll be my little dad to be divided between them when I'm gone.
Yes, you don't want to, but you gotta sort of look ahead, see what.
That's a tax I've got to pay someday or another, whether I want to or not. But I know I can't live forever and eternal, and I don't want to, and I don't want to live to be. Oh, 100 years old or anything like that. But one of my niece-in-law's grandmother lived to see her 103rd birthday.
Yes. And she did well.
Got along pretty good till in the late years. She's getting along good till they got news that one of her daughters was dead. They tried to keep her sickness and trouble from her as long as they could, you know. And she went to do something and turned, fell and broke her hip.
Yeah, that'll do it.
She was then 100 years old.
Yeah.
And from then on till she died, well, I reckon she felt that she was a burden to her daughter that she was staying with, living with.
You never did, you all never did owe money, Miss Chitty.
Sir?
You all never did owe money.
Owe more money than we do anything else.
Well, you owe a little now, but you never did used to.
Well? No, sir. Frank did get behind with his taxes one year and had to buy them in. Again, you know, he let them sell and the tax collector fixed it so he could buy them back in.
Yeah.
He'd been sick, I'd been sick, and all the young ones had been sick, and the youngest one sick and died, you know, and that was a big burden on us, doctor bill, funeral expenses.
Oh, yes.
And all of it, the county threw him behind with his taxes, and he let him run, I think. Run 2 years. They were up for sale, but he always got where he could get to the tax man and told him, he said, I ain't gonna sell, so I want to give you another chance on them. So the next time it come around, he sold it, fixed it, so when he sold it, Frank got, so he's got his deed that Uncle Martin gave him on the place, and a quick claim deed. I know where one of them is. But for the life of me, I can't think. I know about where they're at, but I'm not sure that they're there.
At the house?
I used to.
Well, now, if they get to moving your stuff. That might move some of your pictures.
That's when I told Rosalie, I says, no, no boxes, no nothing moves in my room. But I get to where I know what's being in this one, what's being she and Betty in. Move boxes around in the in bedroom there from the from the dining room. And the I at that time before they were moved, I had an idea where a lot of things was, that if I wanted them, I could go get them. But they've got them boxes moved around so and packed up so. Now, Daddy Ann's got a quilt top and a lining all together and the cotton to pad it with. And she's had it for, oh, I don't know how many years. A cousin of ours in Jacksonville just sewed up, she got, I don't think she's about as wide as this table is, this one, and then long, you know, two different kinds of colors of material. One you can use for the top if you want to, the other one's the bottom, call that the lining. Well, if you get tired of looking at this side too much, you can turn the other side over. If it was quilted, but it ain't quilted, I can't even think what box it was in. They moved them around, so I packed them up. And a lot of papers and things that I didn't want destroyed, it's been destroyed. And all them boxes with them papers in it out there on the porch.
Yeah.
Was old newspapers. We should have done away with them years and years ago already. Just throw them back. Pack them up. Throw them back. Well, now you go back through them. If you had time to go through all them old papers and
yeah.
look,
yeah.
you'll find some way back yonder historical story about something. When it first started thinking.
Something you'd like to read over again.
And make a scrapbook out of them. That was my idea. But when I go to town, I forget to buy me a scrapbook. You know, the backs for a scrapbook. Like
yeah.
big
yeah.
notebook backs. I couldn't think of it. And maybe I'd see him. Well, I didn't have the money. Need the money to go on something else first, and I did.
Yeah. And, you know, you just keep putting it off, and it's hard to get around to it.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah.
And I just wish, talking about owing money, how daily my doctor bill did. I pay him for my visit. And that's according to what was they give me a shot or two shots or I don't want more than vitamin shots. Sure, if I can't accumulate a appetite for food and eating and all, I don't want. That thing hurt me so bad.
Oh, it did.
It just, well, when the nurse gave it to me, she told me I better sit down. So I sat down and she said, place your hand down there on your knee. Oh, I did. And when she popped that needle in there, man, my hand just drawed my dress up.
Oh, really?
She and Margaret said, I told her, I said, ooh, I said, look at that thing showing her. She says, yes, it sure will, miss. She said, these other little old sting shots don't last, don't hurt long. She said, it's going to hurt you when it goes in there, it's going to hurt you a while.
Yeah.
Oh, I just couldn't get my hand. I rubbed my hand. Margaret says, Mama? And the nurse, I can't think of her name now, is in the doctor's office. Says, my mama says, they ain't been doing anything. The nurse lady says, she ain't had one like this one before. So she knew from the,
yeah.
I says, I knew from the looks of that needle it was going to be worse. And
well,
it just made me just grab my, I was trying to hold my hands straight, you know. While she popped that needle in there and boy, my hand just my fingers just come. I had all of my clothes up. She says, "Oh, it's going to hurt." Martha says, "Mama." She says, "You all right?" I guess I'll pull through it. I says, "But that's the hurtness thing." And you see, Doctor, when we all had the flu so bad, at first they called it the German flu, you know, it come through.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't have the flu so much as I had a cold, but the doctor said he thought it best to give me a shot to kind of break it, to keep it from being so bad. Boy, that thing hurt me. It's a good thing they gave them to me in my left arm, put them in my right one. I wouldn't be able to do nothing. I felt right. Now they gave me the last just ordinary shot, flu shot or anything like that. I didn't do that in my right arm, but it hurt. But them other shots they gave me, they don't hurt so long. Just leaves a sore place for a while.
I never had a vitamin shot. Does it help you?
I don't know. I don't see it. Well, a vitamin, the shot, is, I reckon, in that medicine they give you, the foods that your body needs.
Yes.
And maybe make you have an appetite better, better appetite for eating. I said, well, I didn't need nothing to make me want to eat. Because it couldn't have no salt in it, and food's not fit to eat without salt in it.
Sure. That, you know, talking about owing money, people used to be able to borrow money, you know, somewhere out of there in the country. I remember people, you know, that seemed like they always had money and lent it out. And you didn't even have to go to the bank.
I don't know, not any of them around us. Unless the man you're working for, he might loan you a little bit. Not myself, loans Frankie a little whenever he needs it. But I think Frankie's done got him paid back now.
Yeah. You know, I was down to the store. Down there at the hardware store, that Macintosh, a bunch of them was talking one day, and it seemed to me that's where I heard about the Zetrowers. These two boys, their daddy come on to some money. He found a pot of money in the road.
I don't know anything about that, but they say one of the Lightner brothers, old man Jake Lightner, that was killed in Macintosh.
Yeah.
Coming out that road. Right across, well, you know where the old drugstore is. And over on this side was an old building. They tore it down, put the barber shop and new drugstore in 7-11 over on this side. Well, that street that comes out from our way down this kind of hill, and there's a big building dwelling on that corner, and there's one on this corner, and him and his daughter and her daughter, I believe it was his daughter and granddaughter, was going to Macintosh for something, and I don't know just how. I don't know where she was going to turn and go right or coming back left or which. But anyway, I think another truck run into him. Well, it had her butchered up so for a long time she didn't know anything. And I think it killed him and the little girl, his little granddaughter. And I tell you,
yeah.
We didn't know much about them, but we knew they lived up there at Shiloh and all, but this seemed like he had told Joseph, that's the girl's name, Josephine, but they called him Joseph, that he had a quart jar, I think it was. Now, this is what one of his grandsons was telling, Jake, little Jake, you know, was telling around. He heard somebody told Aunt Josie that Grandpa told her that he had a quart jar of money buried under one of the pear trees, orange trees there. And I don't know, it seemed like I said people, the family was digging around the orange trees on whether they were found it or not.
Oh, yeah.
But Josie did finally get well. And I think she's married again. And at that time, I don't know where she had divorced her first husband or where they were still living together, and he was off on some job or another, and she was there with her father and mother, and she drove him to McIntosh on business. And they said for a long time that Josie say nothing on, I killed my poor father. I killed my poor father.
Yeah.
I killed my
yes.
poor father. My poor daddy, Papa, whatever she called.
Yeah.
Seems her head was all crushed and battered up, and I don't know what else was hurt about her.
Well, she did. There's
nothing on her like, kill my baby. And she'd go on about that, you know, all the time. They just had to keep her doped up, keep her almost asleep all the time till her body could gain strength, and they could. I don't know if they done any operating on her head here at Oak Hill, or where they sent her to Gaines, or probably to Jacksonville to a head specialist up there. I don't know. Can't remember. It was such a shock to us all till I screamed now when we go by that place, or when we come out that place. See, that's one of the direct places coming from my place out there.
That's a mean place. I screamed too when I get to there, and I haven't had any trouble there.
Well, we've heard of others having trouble, you know.
Yeah.
People being killed in the cars or the trucks by other trucks and cars.
Was that old man Jake Lightner's place there where little Jake lives? Where Lawrence mm-hmm. lives?
No, sir. Lawrence got him a place up on the road going out by my house.
Yes.
Well, that is at one time belonged to old man Jake. So that was given to Lawrence. That's the only son he had. And Jake was his grandson.
Yeah.
And Ed Lightner, he lives in Williston. That's old man Jake's son. Didn't have but one son and two grandsons.
Lawrence lived there a good while.
He's living up by the hill now.
He's been there a good long while, hasn't he?
And down just below where Lawrence's house is there was an old house. Oh, it was there years and years before we ever come up here, and it stayed there for years and years after we come up. I think they finally tore it down when Lawrence decided to build up there. And of course, that was before the roads were widened out and grazed out like built up like they are now. And they say, and down below that house, there's a spring head down there. There was a spring, people go and get water. And this, I don't know who the people were, where they were lightness, who they were that owned the place. But they said after everybody that had lived there for years, I reckon died and passed on, that you could go by there at certain times of the year. Ain't no different what you was never fooling with using trucks and cars. I imagine it'd be pretty hard for a dog to not jump up in the car or in the truck and get going by and hurt. And they said this big shaggy dog would come up from that spring just before you got opposite the gate that goes in there. But it's all close to the old gray road. And they say this dog would jump up in your buggy or in your wagon.
He wasn't mad at you.
No, he just jump up in. I guess he was so used to maybe being down to the spring, maybe down there getting fresh water, coming in hunting in, and his boss or whoever it was come in his buggy or wagon, he'd jump up in, come right on up. And when you get, they say when you get direct with the gate, he jump off.
And then when the house was gone,
I guess the dog was gone a long time before that, because I know we were. I've seen my young uns all scooch up just as close as they could get to one another in the wagon.
Oh.
We drive up to Henry Mixon's up above the above Shiloh Church, coming this way, you know. We, most especially on moonlight nights, we'd go up maybe and take supper with a neighboring friend of ours. Well, Henry Mixon married Ben Mixon's sister.
Oh, yeah.
And I never would mention anything. Never had mentioned anything, but I had heard it, but never would say anything about it when we'd be driving along there. Of course, new young ones were scary anyway.
Yeah.
Boy, you could, before we got up, wrong way, so we got up either way.
Yeah.
Now, they said this dog would come out of the yard, jump up in your buggy or your wagon and ride down to a certain place, get up and go to that spring.
Yeah.
Down to Washburn. I didn't say nothing, but kind of kept on. And I have, in my time, seen things that I couldn't make the rest of them see to save my life.
Oh, really?
I have. I've been where I could. I seen a black dog go through a crack about that wide.
About the size of a bottle.
And, well, I don't know. You don't handle dogs. And Betty Ann's got a dog now that taken up there. That dog would be about the size of that dog. Well, the dog was bigger than my little dog. Bigger than little Tiny.
Yeah.
And it was just as black as smut.
Yeah.
And I seen that dog go through that crack. I said, oh, look at the dog going through the crack there. Look at the dog. Look. And everybody there, just Mama and a neighbor of ours, and an old colored family lived up. She'd come down to get water from the well there. And she looked, she began to grin and laugh, you know.
Yeah.
Mama said, that person says, what are you doing? I said, Mama, I seen a dog go through that crack there. I said, I seen a black dog go through the crack there, and it wasn't Minnie. It wasn't Miss Lester's dog. And I said, here's Minnie. I said, that dog went through the crack there. You know, Julianne, a colored woman, she said, well, sir, I don't say she didn't see it, and I don't say she did. says, but I'm telling you, white folks, says, I have seen things here around this house. And Miss Lester says, ooh, she says, I'm going to tell you right now, Mr. Lester's going to have to get another place for me to live. I can't stay here. And Mama shaking her head at Julian. Well, she could not say anything because he had. Before we, see, he worked sawmill work, and so did Papa. And if Mr. Lester was the woodsman that went out and blazed trees for the woodchoppers to cut down, you know.
Oh.
Papa was right then. Papa was always his best log chopper. And if he was running the log train, them days they call them log dummies, you know. If he run the engine, Papa was his fireman. And if he worked in the blacksmith shop, Papa was his striker. So when it comes to doing carpentering work, he'd Mr. Lester say, well, old man Dick, I can't be with you in the house, in the carpentering. He says, but I'm going to get you away from it pretty soon. He says, I don't like to go out in the woods blazing trees for you fellas to cut trees out there. You ain't out there. Didn't say Dick's, and he always called him old man Dick.
Yeah.
And Papa called him old man Bill. And he wanted us children to call him Uncle Snap, but I never did. Rosalie wasn't, well, she wasn't big enough to call him. And she, in fact, she ought to be wanting to see all kinds of things, because she was born in that house. But as I was going to tell you, Papa was up at one place. Name of the place, man. I can't think of it now. But it was fair enough that you could leave Emerald, I believe, Emerald, Georgia. Emerald's Mill, where Mr. Lester was working. So they were going to put him on a log train. And he comes and says, well, says, providing I can get my old pal to come and fire the engine for me. He says, I'll take the job. He says, but if I can't, I ain't going to take it. He says, now I'll tell you another thing. He says, he's one of the best log cutters. Says he don't use no saw. Says he uses axes. Says, and if you don't believe me, you get him out then. Gave him a test of logs, so many trees to cut that day, you know. Said, so watch his, of course, a lot of them cuts with axes, and a lot of them saws them down. He says, but this fella don't saw, says he cuts. Says, you can go over every inch of that place that we've been cutting. And you watch his block, his stump, and you see quite a few more stumps.
Yeah.
Way he cut logs than these other fellows that cut logs. Says you can't say much about the ones that saw, but he'll come up with them that's sawing them down. And I can tell you, old man Ed Dixon can whack them down. Whack them down, trim them up, cut them off. Don't have a bit of trouble in the world getting your logs back on.
Yeah.
So,
Gee
whiz. Emerald's Mill. Because there was another place we moved to. I had a little black feist dog. And I... No, you weren't black. You're a little tan dog like my little Shawara, I bet.
Yeah.
A little bit bigger than she is, though. And I named him, you know, That's an odd name for a dog.
Yeah.
So, but this is a different place from what I was talking about a while ago. That was James's mill there.
Let me call Bears, man. Okay.
She had to wash them greens some more.
She got down there where the boy's working. Now, don't stop what she's saying. Now, this is not.
I'll go ahead with my ghost hats.
Yeah.
So, he was working, and that was the only house he could get in right at the time he went to work in there. But one night, he said it was a beautiful moonlight night. And Ms. Lester, his wife, was awful forgetful about pushing the rocking chair back one way or the other, and one of the kids wanted water. So he gets up, goes out there to get water, and he happened to run into the rocking chair. He says, her name was Fanny, but he called her Gal most of the time. He says, Gal, I wish to God you learned to push this chair back over the other way so it wouldn't be in the way of the door here. She said, well, I thought I'd moved it. And said the chair wouldn't push much. It kind of gave a hard push. Great, so a great big old shaggy bear was sitting in that rocking chair.
Oh.
He said, call Mama Dixie and Papa Old Man Dickie. He says, I tell you, Dixie, he says, I like to feel right there. He says, the young one's still hauling water. He says, I carried water in there.
Yeah. I want you to hear this.
He says, I went and carried the water and see, it was a porch built on the end here. And the well was right down here at the corner. And that well was what we used to call clay pits, you know, and they dug it out, cleaned it out, and made a well out where they got the dirt to build a sticking dirt chimney. That mud and stick, you know. So that's how come the well there. And he said he went to get the kid some water. Just got out of that rocking chair, walked right on down them steps, and right in this fence run across you, stepped up on that step there that goes over the gate. Instead of making a gate open and shut, it had step over. Then he went on down, so I stood there and watched him. He went on down past the mule lock, way down. Says, I didn't see him anymore. He says, and I didn't care to. He says, and I was scared so bad I couldn't hold the water still for the youngest black boy. Talking about painted houses and where you see things.
Uh-huh.
Fence went across that way, and I bet the crack wasn't a bit wider than that.
Oh, man.
I seen a black dog bigger than my little tiny down yonder go through it.
Yeah. Is that right?
And I tried to get them. I forgot all about Miss Lester telling us about the big bear, a dog or something, sitting up in the chair, you know, rocking chair. And scolded his wife about leaving the chair in the door. The dog scared him so much. And Daddy didn't know what else to do, you know.
Uh-huh.
He called her Gal, and she called him a Slaster. That was his name, you know, last name. And she never did call him Bill or William or anything like that. And I forgot I had been caution not to tell anything that I had seen or heard around the place, you know. So he come up to where we was living at and got Papa, I got me and Mama in the horse and buggy, in the boss man's horse and buggy, and brought us on up there. And Papa was to, and I think he carried, the next morning. He spent the night, and the next morning we got up to go down to his, where he was living at.
Uh-huh.
it took me some time. We could, well, the sun was shining all right, sun up, but it was after dark when we got to where he lived. But in that time, he had had a wagon to come up the next morning. I think it was 2-horse wagon and a 1-horse wagon, and got what furniture we had. And, well, of course, Papa had to turn his notice in, you know, that he was going to another place to work.
Oh, I see.
But he told that night, oh, he went to bed, they tell him, talking and telling. And he called Mama Dixie and Papa Old Man Dick. He called him Old Man Bill. Miss Lassie, if he didn't say Miss Lassie, he'd say gal like Miss Lassie did. So he says, I don't know. He says, I got an old colored woman lives that pretty close to where we're at. Says, I got her to say she and one of her younger boys had come down and stayed at the house with gal while I was up here. Says, now I got to hurry back. Just because I may not have no gal. You see, there's Ida, Lee, and, well, they had 3 children then. I think Maddie Mae was the youngest of his children. And I just let things slip. I seen that dog with feet crack, so it, well, I thought, I said, oh, look at the dog. Dog, nobody even look like that, too, you know. And he's going through the crack. He's going through the crack now. And this old colored woman, Julianne, she was sitting out there, standing on the edge of the porch. That's where she, well, I was sitting down on the porch with my feet on top step. The dog come out from under the house and right on. And nobody seen that dog. Julianne didn't even see it. And she said she had, at different times, seen things. And when, after that,